title of tonight's sermon is He Was a Good Man. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. We're going to read this particular passage knowing about whom it is written, or regarding whom it is written, so that we might understand the definition of a good man. We're going to ask a few questions. We're going to make some points so that when we leave here, perhaps we will be able to classify ourselves as a good person. Acts chapter 11, verses 22 through 24. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he would go far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. I know that throughout time, man has disposed of the remains of their loved ones in a form that we call burial. And in so doing, they oftentimes have put stones upon their graves, and in, I guess, somewhat recent times, began to carve things upon those stones. Maybe it was reserved for the rich for a while. But just reading some of the things that are found on the stones would perhaps tell you some things about the people, or the idea that was conveyed by the people who had the stones engraved. Perhaps you look down upon a stone on top of a grave, and you might see something like a servant of God. What a wonderful thing to be remembered for. But would it not also be important to be remembered as a good man? If someone were to ask, or someone were asked to describe you in one word, what would it be? Would it be good? Well, that depends. Now, before I get into trouble with some, I want everyone here to know that I'm not being gender specific in the things that I point out. In the title of the sermon, I'm not being gender specific. Just because I say a good man doesn't mean it doesn't apply also to both men and women. This is explained for us in Galatians chapter 2, verses 26 through 28. And it's in that vein that I make these points. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. There again, we need to understand that while we live in these physical bodies, yes, we are male or we are female. And we have specific functions within the body of Christ which we can fulfill and carry out, and it's according to God's plan. But when we say he was a good man, we need to understand that all can be good. What about the simple adjective used by the Holy Spirit to describe Barnabas? For he was a good man. Now, the question then is, what is it that makes one really a good person in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the people? A few years ago, one of the studios that does the animated characters put out a show called You're a Good Man, Charlie Brown. Now, Charlie Brown has some good characteristics. He's always seemingly happy. But is that what makes a person good? I want to look this evening and see some things that could be used to define or to identify a good man. A good man is one who obeys the good news. Now, we know that the good news, as we find it in the Bible, is the Word of God, the Gospel. But a good man is one who hears it and obeys it. And we'll see this in Romans chapter 10, verses 15 through 17. We see, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And we see the key to it comes in verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The truth of the matter is, there perhaps would be more people who became good people because they hear the Word of God. It's up to good people to make sure that other people hear the Word of God so they too can be good. We pointed out in verse 16 of the previous reading, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. How is anyone going to obey the gospel unless they hear the gospel? How are they going to obey the gospel unless they know how to obey the gospel? By what the gospel teaches. We know that one can go from being an evil person or a bad person to a good person when they repent of the bad and turn to the good. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, was known as Saul and has a reputation, and everybody would not call him a good man because he himself considered himself to be chief of sinners because he persecuted the church. But Jesus said in Luke chapter 13 in verses 3 and 5, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So for a person to become a good man or a good person, they have to repent. They have to turn away from sin and turn toward God. We know also that obedience requires making the good confession. I was taught as a child that when one comes forward, they make a profession of faith. It's interesting that many years later, I find that expression not used in the Bible, nor the concept taught. But what are we to confess? We are to confess before many witnesses that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, or before mankind. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we see the Apostle Paul, guided by the Spirit, directing Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. He continued to confess before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I submit to you this evening that he that is a good man will continue to do so. It's almost like some people think, well, you know, I repented, and I confessed, and I was baptized, and so that's all I have to do. I'm a good man. Yes, you were, but you have to continue in it. We all have to continue in it in order to remain good. We also have to have been baptized in order to be a good man. And someone's going to ask the question, perhaps, you mean to tell me that someone who has not been baptized could not be a good man? Oh, they might be of good moral character. But remember, the question was, what is it that makes one really a good person in the eyes of God and in the eyes of the people? They have to have been baptized. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21 tells us the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so a good man is one who obeys the good news. Secondly, a good man is one who does good to all men. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10 brings this to our attention so that we might fully understand it. And we need to understand that it provides the eventuality for such. As we have therefore opportunity. I don't know how many times I've had people to tell me I don't have the opportunity to do this or that. I don't have whatever, the chance, the time, the opportunity to do something. The Bible says that we do have the opportunity. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that are of the household of faith. But what better thing can you do in being a good man than to carry the gospel message of Jesus Christ? That's why we see in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 6, that we are to do good to the erring and to the faithful, to saints and sinners. We see in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 1, one thing that could be done. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. We need to understand that as we see brethren slipping away, that is our responsibility. And if we see it, we have the opportunity. We can't afford to be like Festus, I believe who it was, that said, when I have convenient season. Maybe that was Felix. When I have convenient season, when we see one overtaken in a fault. We look out upon the congregation, and a preacher has a better insight into this, I suppose, than others, because they're looking out into all the empty pews. And they see all the empty chairs, whether it's a morning service, whether it's an evening service. And we know who is here and who is not. And it's sad. We should make sure that people understand that they should be here. They help them to restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. Now also in verse 6 we'll see, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. We need to make sure that people understand what is good and what is not. That it is good to be here. That it is good to fellowship together. That it is good to gather ourselves together so that we might be one in Christ. It's also important as we go through this life to be good to family and to neighbors. Now, in saying that, nobody's going to question, should we not do for our family? Should we not take care of our family? The Bible teaches that, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And providing for your own means more than just groceries or a roof over their head. It means providing them with the instruction that they need from God's Word. Many men, I'm afraid, are falling way short in this department. We say, what about the women? The men are the head of the house. And it's their responsibility to see to it that that is what is taught in their home. That's providing for them. But we need to also be aware of the fact that we are to do the same thing for our neighbors. Now, as we turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 27 through 29, we'll find the situation. And we'll see the people there thought like they do today. Now, out where I live, we have a structure on one side of our house, and we have a structure on the other side of the house, and we have a home, a structure across the road from our house. And people would say, those are your neighbors. We need to understand that not just those who live in close proximity to us is our neighbor. In Luke chapter 10, he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind. He had been asked, what do the law say? And he says, and thy neighbor and thyself. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? Now, we are submitting tonight that a good man is one who does good to all men, including our neighbor. And let me tell you this, if you come in contact with them throughout the week, they are your neighbor. Doesn't matter where they live, doesn't matter where they come from, doesn't matter where they're going, they're your neighbor. And we're to do good for them. Again, the best thing that we can do for them is to tell them about their soul, to tell them about the love of God, to tell them about Jesus Christ who came and died upon Calvary's cross. In addition to that, we're also to be good to friend and foe. You know, it's easy to be good to those that are good to you. Those that pat you on the back and say you do a good job, and those who are around and help you out in every way they can, it's easy. But what about those who despitefully use you? What about those who talk angrily toward you? Or those who put down what you believe? Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 and following. We will see that Jesus Christ came and he set the excellent example for us. But he also taught us that we are to be good even to our foe. He said, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We also would be remiss if we talked about being good, if we didn't mention in this that we need to be good to the community and to the church. But we need to understand that doing good is not just benevolence. The church is to be benevolent, but it's not a benevolent society. It's not a benevolent organization. The church is to be in the business of saving souls. And if you can help someone out with benevolence along the way, so you should. Thirdly, a good man is one who carefully maintains good works. Let's turn to Titus chapter 3, verse 8. We'll see here that the Spirit had the Apostle Paul write to Titus, and he told him about some things that are good and profitable unto men. And one of the things he pointed out was that it is important to maintain good works. He said, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." This means not occasionally doing something to help someone or that's good for someone, but maintaining good works. Another way of putting it is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58. We see as the Apostle Paul was directed to write to the Corinthian brethren, he said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And sometimes it seems that our labor and our efforts are in vain. Why? Because people won't listen. Because people won't come. Because of any number of things. But we're always to abound in the Lord's work. What was the Lord's work? The Lord came to seek and save that which was lost. He provided for us a message that we also could take that message to those that are lost so that they too could have salvation. A good man is one who loves good people. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, we'll see a qualification for one that would be a bishop or an elder. But this also applies to all Christians. We are to be lovers of hospitalities. We are to be lovers of good men. Sober, just, holy, temperate. And this lover of good men means that we surround ourselves with good people. Believe it or not, we are known by the people with whom we associate. If we associate with bad people, we're going to be known as a bad person. If we associate with good people, we're going to be known as a good person. But we're also to love these people. Those who are categorized as good will often speak to good people. They will spend time communicating to them and talking to them. I'm never disappointed when good people get together, because eventually religion will come up and religion will be discussed. But I am often disappointed when brethren get together and it seems like that's the last subject anybody wants to talk about. Why? Well, I don't know. But good people also will speak words in defense of other good people. They'll stand up for them. They enjoy their company. And we need to understand there's a difference in kindness and love. You know, we can be kind to anything and to anybody. But what is love? The greatest manifestation of love that the world has ever seen was given by God when He gave His only begotten Son to die upon Calvary's cross so that we could have salvation. And I hear oftentimes in people's prayer that Jesus died on the cross for my sins. Jesus died on the cross to bridge the gap between God and man so that man could have the remission of sins. He provided the only sacrifice that was there. And we are to be kind to people. We are to love them. And kindness is being kind. Love is doing good. And it's doing good for the good of others. Again, the best thing that we can do for others to be good to them is to tell them about the love of God. To tell them about the Savior. A good man is one who has a good reputation. In 3 John, verses 11 and 12, we see this. The report given of men regarding Paul regarding Demetrius, as Paul is writing, or I'm sorry, John is writing. It says, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. Demetrius hath a good report of all men, and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true." Notice he said that Demetrius had a good report of all men, not just those in the church, but those outside of the body of Christ. And a good reputation will be known of those who have goodwill toward others. We also are to have a good reputation when it comes to the truth itself. But the only way that we can have a good reputation when it comes to truth is to know the truth. To know the truth and do the truth. Live by it. We also know that one who is a good man is one who will fight the good fight of faith. This too is difficult at times. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, we see the Apostle Paul has written to Timothy as he's guided by the Spirit, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and profess a good profession before many witnesses." Another thing that one must do in order to fight the good fight of faith is knowing when to fight and know when to flee. Very interesting story. Years ago, I happened to be working in Atlanta, Georgia. We didn't have cell phones back then. I had to wear that little aggravating piece of plastic called a pager. And I was instructed when the pager went off to look at it. And if it didn't say 911 after the number, then get to it when I could. But if it said 911, stop and do right now and go call. It was the office number. And right behind that was 911. I said, "Oh man, I really don't want to go call right now. I'm in the middle of something." But I went down and I called. And the reason they called me to tell me was that a riot had broken out in downtown Atlanta. And guess where I ended up? On a payphone, on the sidewalk. And I said, "I can't hear you. There's too much noise." I looked to my left or to my right and I saw this wall of people coming. I said, "I gotta go." You gotta know when to fight and you gotta know when to flee. If indeed you're approached by a bully in the schoolyard, you size him up and you say, "Maybe." But if there are three bullies, what do you say? It's time to get out of Dodge. You got to know when to fight, you got to know when to flee, and you got to know how to fight. That's why he told Timothy, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." And that's important. You must lay hold on eternal life. We must also know the difference. A good man will know the difference in the good fight and just fighting. I'm afraid there are some who want to fight. They want to be objective. They want to kick up a ruckus. And others who will earnestly stand and fight the good fight of faith will not lower themselves to the standards of someone else just for the sake of a good fight. In other words, they know how to contend earnestly for the faith. Jude verse 3, a very familiar passage, one that helps us to understand what a good man is. He said, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." It is important to fight. It is important to stand. And it's hard sometimes. You have to remind yourselves that one plus God equals a majority. What if all the world was to depart and say, "I'm not going to follow this gospel. I'm not going to follow"? How hard do you think it would be then? Well, friends, it's almost gotten that way in this country. People are forsaking the truth. People are leaving the church. And people are saying, "I don't want to fight that way anymore." But we've got to earnestly contend for the faith because we know the end of a good fight. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. We see the Apostle Paul, no doubt nearing the end of his life, being directed by the Spirit to write unto Timothy. He said in verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What had he done? He had kept the faith. He had finished the course. he had fought the good fight of faith. Now I want you to ask you a question. Will you not agree that the one such as described here tonight is a good person? I think one who has these qualities could only be described as a good person, a good man, or a good woman. And then the next question is, are you a good man or a good woman? The last and final question I want to ask tonight is, have you been obedient to the good news of the gospel of Christ? The Bible is extremely clear as to how one is to become a child of God. And one cannot be a good man unless they are in Christ. Not truly. Because one that's a good man is one that's good inside as well as outside. The Bible teaches for one to become a child of God, they must hear the word of God. James asked the question, or said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We're also taught in Hebrews 11:6 that it is impossible to please God unless we believe. It says, for without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Also knowing that Acts 17:30 tells us that we must repent. It tells us there, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent, confessing before men that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We find this in Matthew 10:32-33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. And we must be baptized, as we pointed out earlier. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, the like figure whereunto even baptism does also now save us. But once we've done these things and become a child of God, we need to understand that's when the real pressure comes upon being good. We must remain faithful unto death. In 2 Peter chapter 2 verses 20 and 21, we see the status of one who is no longer good, but one who has forsaken the truth and has allowed themselves to become mired in sin once again. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. When a person has reached that state, they are now erring Christians. They need to come back to God through repentance and prayer. Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Simon was told, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee. Tonight, just like at the conclusion of every service, we're at a crossroad. We're at a point in our lives where we need to decide if we're going to be good or if we're just going to be like the world. I hope you've been considering those things as we have discussed these tonight. And if you need to respond to the gospel, we ask you to come as together we stand and sing the invitation song.